You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. In Washington today, President Bush met with British Prime Minister Tony Blair one day after the Iraq Study Group released its report. The two held a press conference during which President Bush continued to assert that the coalition forces would prevail in Iraq. However, the president did acknowledge that the situation there is bad. The Iraq Study Group's bipartisan 10-member panel came up with 79 separate unanimous recommendations on how to change the president's policy in Iraq, which the group concluded was not working. One of those recommendations is a call for the withdrawal of U.S. combat forces from Iraq by early 2008. President Bush has already rejected that idea. There are several other studies of the situation in Iraq underway, including ones by the National Security Council, the Pentagon, and the State Department. President Bush said he would not make any decisions until after he gets all of those reports. Afterwards, the president plans to give a major speech to explain any change in his Iraq policy. Wednesday was one of the deadliest days for U.S. forces in Iraq. The military now says 11 American troops lost their lives in several separate attacks. In the first week of December, at least 31 U.S. troops have been killed in Iraq. Late yesterday, the Senate gave near unanimous approval to Robert Gates to be the new defense secretary. The vote was 95-2. Members of the 109th Congress may vote on a massive tax and trade package before ending their lame duck session. The legislation would normalize trade with Vietnam and extend tax breaks that affect millions of Americans. However, the controversial bill would also open up oil and gas drilling in more than 8 million acres of the Gulf of Mexico. Saudi forces battled gunmen today at Jeddah, a port in the Red Sea. The Interior Ministry reported that two Saudi security forces were wounded in the shootout. The gunmen were believed to be Islamic militants. A Middle East scholar resigned his position from the Carter Center in Atlanta after controversy over former President Jimmy Carter's latest book on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The professor accused the former president of, quote, factual errors, omissions, and plagiarism, according to the Washington Post. Today is the 65th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Nearly 500 survivors gathered in Hawaii today to commemorate that day of infamy. Many veterans who are now in their 80s fear that this will be the last time they will be able to gather because of their health and their age. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Health investigators now say a Southern California vegetable grower is the source of E. coli contamination linked to green onions that has sickened nearly 100 people who ate at Taco Bell restaurants in the Northeast. Yesterday, Taco Bell removed green onions from the menus of all of its U.S. restaurants. Meanwhile, the first lawsuit against Taco Bell has already been filed by the family of an 11-year-old boy who became sick and was hospitalized after eating three tacos at a Long Island Taco Bell. The Labor Department reported today that the number of unemployment claims filed last week dropped to 324,000. That's the largest drop in 6 months. Several news outlets are reporting today that a civil settlement has been reached between Hewlett-Packard and the California Attorney General's office stemming from the so-called media spying scandal. That announcement is expected today. The Seminole Tribe of Florida will pay just under $1 billion for the Hard Rock chain. The deal includes 124 cafes, 4 hotels, 2 casino hotels, and 2 concert venues. And a record sale for a New York skyscraper, a New Jersey real estate family, the Kushners, will pay $1.8 billion for a Fifth Avenue building. Light sweet crude trading at $62.58 a barrel, and near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow is down 30 points, the Nasdaq is down 18 points, and the S&P 500 down 6. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Bramoff.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Night Shift, where the children of the night fight the radical right. It's Foxed Up with John Fox. Foxed Up is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream every day. Be one louder by calling 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. And now, your host, the ranting, headbanging hippie, John Fox.
Welcome aboard, folks. John Fox here on the Head On Radio Network, coming to you live from Sydney, Australia, via the home studios in West Virginia, USA. Oh, boy, do I have some audio for you today. Oh, I gotta tell you, you know, there are just moments, there are moments that I love the Australian ABC, which is the public broadcaster, you know, and we have a nightly program here called the 7:30 Report, which is normally hosted by Mr. Kerry O'Brien, who, you know, sometimes he just pops up, you know, with sledgehammer in hand. And last night he had our foreign minister, Mr. Alexander, I'm a Quaalude Downer, on about the Iraq Study Group report. And he doesn't hold back, and I think the Australian people are getting very, very tired of this blind following of not so much the United States at this point, but George W. Bush. And just when we go when we go to this audio, just check out Kerry O'Brien's opening line. Now, this bit of audio will fill up, you know, a good portion of the segment. And just listen to the opening line of Kerry O'Brien taking on Mr. Alexander Downer over Australia's position in the coalition. Go ahead and roll that, Bob.
What do you think of the Iraq study group report, Mr. Downer, or would you rather wait and see what President Bush says first?
No, I've had a look at the report, and I haven't got on top of every detail of it, but I've had a quick look at it during the course of today, and I think it's a good piece of work. It'll make a useful contribution to the Americans' consideration of their strategy, in, particularly in and around Baghdad. I mean, it draws all the right conclusions about the ultimate objectives of ensuring that the democratic government and the democratic constitution can be sustained by the Iraqi forces. And obviously the debate here is how best to deploy, for the Americans to deploy their forces, especially in support of building up the Iraqi security forces.
Do you agree with the study group that the situation is grave and deteriorating?
Well, I think I look at this in an overall historic context. I think, first of all, that the getting rid of Saddam Hussein's regime was done exceptionally well with great precision and efficiency. Secondly, I think it was a remarkable thing, really, particularly in retrospect, that a democratic institution was drawn up and voted in and that there were democratic elections. The third thing, I think, is that in recent times the violence in and around Baghdad has got worse and is a very serious problem, and obviously the Americans are going to think about how best to address that over and above what they've been doing up until now.
You keep talking about the Americans. We'll come to Australia in a minute, I guess.
Of course, but
when you talk about what a great thing it was to see Saddam Hussein go, and I think you've said that 300,000 Iraqis were killed by Saddam. Do you know how many Iraqis have been killed since the war?
No, I mean, obviously been various estimates of that, but of course the tragedy of it is that so many of the Iraqis who have been killed in recent times have been killed by Iraqis by Al-Qaeda. Now, not all of Al-Qaeda are Iraqis, of course. A lot of them are foreigners. And Al-Qaeda has been successful in killing people, attacking Shia mosques and trying to encourage sectarian conflict, and there is a combination of former Ba'athist regime elements, Saddam Hussein supporters, Al-Qaeda operatives, and of course sectarian militias operating mainly, not exclusively, but mainly in and around the Baghdad area, and it makes for a pretty nasty situation.
Of course, this report says that the actual violence caused by Al-Qaeda is minor compared to the sectarian violence between Shias and Sunnis. The report says bluntly that the violence is already dire, situation deteriorating, and says if it gets worse, the Iraqi government could collapse, sparking a humanitarian catastrophe. I mean, it really does sound like an unmitigated disaster that could reverberate for decades.
Well, it's a difficult situation. I think that goes without saying. We don't have to be told that by the Baker-Hamilton reporter. You only have to watch the news night after night to understand that. The question is how best to handle it. What the Baker-Hamilton report makes very clear, which is what, by the way, not just the Americans, but I think I'm right in saying pretty much any government I've spoken to in recent times on this issue has made clear, that the Americans can't just, or the coalition can't just walk out of Iraq. And if that were to happen, it would not only cause a most horrific bloodbath, but I think, and I've made this point myself, so I'm glad to read it in the Baker-Hamilton report, that it could very easily lead to a regional war, drawing in countries like Iran, Saudi Arabia, Syria, possibly even Turkey because of the Kurdish issue. So, I mean, it is very important at this time not to be a couple of things, not to be defeatist, not just to surrender and allow that particular scenario to occur, but on the other hand, to work through how better can the Iraqi security forces be trained? How better can the reconciliation process in Iraq that the Prime Minister there says he's presiding over, how better can that reconciliation process work?
Okay. We're gonna go to the second half for that interview a little bit later, but I mean, do you hear the tap dance that's going on with this guy? I mean, and even John Howard yesterday, after this report comes out, still managed to say, stay the course. I mean, do these people listen to the facts at all? It's just an absolute riot, and I love the fact that Kerry O'Brien, asks him the question, do you know how many Iraqis have died in this conflict? And of course, this is, well, there's all kinds of estimates, blah, 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 blah. As far as I understand, about as many Iraqis have died, if not more, under what we've been doing in the country compared to what Saddam did, during his time. And constantly trying to bring up the Al-Qaeda factor. It's just, it's absolute stupidity, I, But I love that opening line. What do you think of the report, or are you going to wait for what President Bush has to say? Oh, it just absolutely wraps it up beautifully. So, I'm sorry. There are just moments that I just wish I could be in the ABC studios and just give Carrie O'Brien a big fat hug. He's a great journalist and a wonderful host, and we'll get back to some more of that in a minute because we're coming up on our first break. If you want to get in on the program, we'll wait to take calls if you wish to come in the second half of the show because we got quite a bit to get through. But if you want to email me, it's John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. And we're going to be back with, I think I'm going to hold off with the second half of this interview for a bit because after this track of the day, and it's kind of very special because the state of Victoria is under siege from bushfire coming up on this weekend, and it's something that we haven't seen since 1939 in this country. And it's very dire. So I'll talk a little bit about that when we come back before we get into our track of the day, which is dedicated to those that are under threat over this weekend. So you're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network, and we shall be back straight after these messages.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right, they include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
everybody. Welcome back to Foxed Up here for a Friday morning, if you're in my part of the world, Thursday afternoon, very possibly, where you are on this beautiful blue marble that we live on. And part of that marble is really stressed right now. The state of Victoria here in Australia is facing very possibly the worst bushfire threat since what they refer to as Black Friday in 1939. From The Age, there's a piece, and I believe there's a link on my show post today, and there's also a satellite photo from NASA there of the smoke plume seen from space. And if you go and have a look at that, it'll give you an idea of just kind of how serious this is. It says here, late yesterday, almost 2,000 firefighters with nearly 400 vehicles and 45 aircraft were tackling fires that are expected to strengthen over the weekend due to high temperatures and a northerly change. This fire is following a similar pattern to Black Friday in 1939. There are approximately 50 fires that have already burned 100,000 hectares. Now, the big worry is that authorities believe the fires could combine to a 600,000 hectare superfire on Saturday. Now, to give you the conversion in the old math, that is 1.5 million acres. And they think that it could spread all the way to the coastline. I've seen video from Victoria this morning. It's just like glowing yellow. The atmosphere on the ground. Some of the fires were burning so hot yesterday that they actually melted a car. You could see the aluminum engine block was the only remnants of it was a now cooled molten river trail heading down to what was a burned out home. So this is a very, very dire situation. There have already been homes lost. Many communities have been evacuated, and some that have stayed behind to try and defend their property have an abandoned coal mine as their last refuge to try and save themselves. So, I mean, this is just a very, very, very scary situation. So, what was it? 2 days ago, the track of the day, I played an instrumental piece from the T-Pen. Reaction to that track was rather astounding. Everyone seemed to really enjoy that. And so going on that theme, we're going to do another Tea Party track today off of the album Splendor Solace. Now, the last time I saw the Tea Party live, their manager, who has now passed away, was just undergoing surgery the night that they were performing. And they opened the song with Mr. Martin playing oud and kind of opened it up as a chant. And he asked everyone to focus their energy, this great friend of theirs that was really, really fighting for their life. And the 8,000 people in the venue, you could feel them sending the positive energy that way. So in the veins of that, this is a track called Save Me from the Tea Party, and this purely goes out to those that are under threat this weekend from just absolutely horrific bushfires. So to take us out for this half of the show, here's the Tea Party with Save Me.
I'm gonna scream you tonight. This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Welcome back to Foxed Up here for a Thursday afternoon, Friday morning, depending on where you reside. And, you know, that track, Save Me, the lyric is actually about Hamlet and Ophelia. But there's just something so intense about that just hook that just, I mean, I think that album's been, is almost 10 years old now, and I swear that track still gives me goosebumps. And can you imagine at the gig that I went to with 8 or 10,000 people singing that hook, all focusing their energy at a sick man? I just, it was a spiritual moment in music for me as a spectator. It was just fantastic. And I happened to be working the gig as well, and I saw Jeff at the end and just was like, dude. Anyway, okay, we're going to get back to a bit of this downer audio from the 7:30 report. So Carrie O'Brien just kind of sticks right back into what does this mean for Australia. So, Bob, if you got it ready there, go for...
Well, the Iraq Study Group is promoting a substantial withdrawal of U.S. combat forces other than those still embedded with Iraqi forces by the first quarter of 2008.
Mm.
Now, that's not much more than a year away. If President Bush embraces that goal, presumably Australia would do the same, wouldn't it?
Well, Australia, of course, well, I'll come to Australia in a second, but first of all, of course, the Iraqi Study Group isn't saying, let's set a date and let's then let's withdraw from Iraq. What the Iraqi Study Group is saying is what I think is the right thing to say, and that is the task here, and we've been saying this for a very long time now, is to stand up an effective Iraqi security force, particularly military.
Yes, but
so
on,
they
on
can
point,
take over. So they, well, hang on.
Yes,
so
but
they
but
can
point,
take over security.
But on that point, the report says there is little evidence that the long-term deployment of U.S. troops by itself has led or will lead to fundamental improvements in the security situation in Iraq. And it says that the build-up of reliable Iraqi military forces is problematic. The situation with police is worse. It says, quote, Iraqi police can't control crime. They routinely engage, this is the police, routinely engage in sectarian violence, including unnecessary detention,
can I just say,
torture,
sure,
and targeted
sure,
execution.
Sure, I've read it. But can I just make the point to you? If this is an argument that the best solution here is just to walk out and do nothing or give up, that's not an argument that I buy.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm posing these questions.
No, you've had a good run.
I'm posing the questions.
Let me just say this. I think that the idea of looking at better ways, particularly of building up the Iraqi army, which is certainly more efficient and more proficient than the Iraqi police, is an appropriate issue to consider. And embedding Americans in Iraqi units, that already happens, but to do that to a greater extent, and to put more resources into training and less resources over time into combat operations, I think my own view is that that is inevitably going to happen.
But the coalition's had 3 years. Coalition's
well,
had 3 years
think,
already. Situation grave, getting worse.
I think the argument here is that... Is the balance between training and combat operations the right balance, or would it be better to put a greater emphasis on training and embedding and less emphasis on combat operations, so that through better training and more embedding of coal or American forces into Iraqi units, those Iraqi units would be able to do more of the combat work themselves?
And that is
essentially what the argument is here, and I think you'll find the administration, look, I can't speak for them, but obviously we've been speaking to them a lot in recent times about this. I think they will be reasonably sympathetic to that type of proposition.
There's a section of the report headed US, Coalition and Iraqi Forces. Australia's not even mentioned in that section. Britain is, not Australia. So I wonder just how important is Australia's presence in the overall equation that we're talking about. And I'll ask again, if President Bush endorses a withdrawal similar to that being suggested by this group, would Australia adopt a similar position? Do you have any idea
I'll explain to you. Because you're putting a spin on this and you're trying to persuade your listeners that this is suggesting that American troops will withdraw by early 2008.
I said very clearly, Mr. Downer, they were suggesting a withdrawal of all forces other than those embedded with Iraqi troops by autumn 2008.
And trainers. And, of course, there would be overwatch responsibilities in order to assist the Iraqis in the worst imaginable circumstances where the Iraqi security forces are unable to handle a particular situation. And my answer in relation to Australia is that the Australian troops do what I think is an entirely appropriate thing, and is, if you like, a window into the future of what Americans will increasingly do, and that is that we do training, we do mentoring for Iraqis, and we provide an overwatch operation. We don't do day-to-day combat work. Where we operate in Dhekar and Al-Matana provinces, we are there to provide additional support to the Iraqi security forces if they get into trouble and can't help themselves out. But on the other hand, a lot of the day-to-day work is the training and mentoring job. So, you know, the challenge here, The big picture here is to get the Iraqi security forces to be able to take responsibility for Iraq to the extent that the democratic government can be sustained rather than it fall to terrorists and insurgents. I mean, it's actually as simple as that.
it's as simple as... Now, yeah, I love Downer saying, you're putting a spin on this. Excuse me? I think Kerry O'Brien was just, you know, asking questions that are being put forward with the information in the report. I think much more likely is the fact that it's Mr. Downer that's putting the spin on things, don't you think? thank you, Kerry O'Brien. Thank you, the ABC. And I'll tell you, folks, go to abc.net.au. Go to their video on demand and look for the 7:30 report. And I'll get the names again. But there's these two comedian guys that play interviewer and politics in a bit of a free form. I'll get to that a little bit later because we got to go to the phones. We have David from Northern California on the line. How you going, David? Welcome to the Head On Radio Network.
Hey there, John. I get a lot of compliments on a T-shirt you were kind enough to send me, the Chicago one, for being a caller, and so I do appreciate that. You had played down what a elegant thing you were sending.
Anyway, I sent you a T-shirt?
You did, didn't you?
I don't think that was me.
It came from Head On. Okay. Maybe.
Oh, that was Joe Vecchio.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. It was. Well, I'll thank him when I get back to him. In any event, I connect this that this administration, everything about them is shifting as much wealth as possible to the very tiniest small Carlisle cartel at the top. And the war, that's what it's all about, too, I think. It is shifting the treasury of the United States into the pockets of the same folks. So I think people don't seem to get that are in critical places that should understand this is a very, very bad thing that I'm somehow supporting. Even Kerry in his talk earlier, he was certainly very unhappy with the administration and wasn't holding back, but he was of the belief, I think, that there was a noble purpose for being there.
Whatever noble purpose that there might have been for being there is long gone and overshadowed by the end result of the chaos and the death and the destruction and the bloodshed that has come forth because of this ill-advised, absolutely profit-driven war that we're in. I mean, I just find the whole thing so unbelievably disgusting that I hope that this study group report is going to force a serious change in what we're in what's going on. You know, last night on Late Line here, a former member of the Reagan administration was on, and he now works for the Center for American Progress, and he was saying that now the conversation has changed. It's not how long will we stay. The conversation is now going to shift to when are we going to get out. And I think that that's probably the best thing about this report, that the dialogue in general with the public and with the politicians, you know, that don't have been following like little sheep, are now going to feel a little bit more empowered to actually come out and say, it's time to get out. How do we get out? How do we get out? And how soon can we get out?
Well, as I read between the lines, what I'm hearing is that you just don't understand how much profit there is in this for a small group of us. And that's why getting out is not anywhere near on the top of their mind of things to do. And they planned it out for years. The earliest days of PNAC, they had planned invasions in the Middle East.
I know. But see, the thing is I do think that, you know, George Bush is going to try and, you know, deny this reality, and, you know, he's still waiting on, I believe it's a Pentagon report of a similar vein,
and there's one coming out of one of the other, you know, offices somewhere. But this is the only one that's going that is bipartisan, and even if it doesn't carry any weight with George Bush, it's going to carry weight with the rest of the American people, and it's going to carry weight internationally, because, you know, the international media has been saying that this is a cock-up for years now, and that's one of the things that I really enjoyed about Kerry O'Brien going so hard at Alexander Downer, saying, you know, the coalition's had 3 years. What's telling you that suddenly it's going to get, you know, that suddenly the training's going to improve? And this gentleman from the Reagan administration said that he thinks that it's the pullout that will finally give the Iraqis the drive and the desire to take control of their own country. At the moment, they don't actually have the desire to, because we're there.
Well, because...
And I think that...
As I connected, they're on track with their purpose. As this country goes billions of dollars in debt more every week, the same little Carlyle group gets billions of dollars richer. And that seems to be their objective, and there appears to be no end to their greed. So, if that is the reality of what we're up against, then we're dealing with some serious, serious psychopaths.
Well, we've known that for a long time, David. That, you know, this whole profit taking and not caring about the effects of the profit taking is, you know, basically a psychotic state of mind. So I really appreciate your call, mate. I'm already running over on my last break, but it's always good to talk to you, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you again.
We will. Thank you.
All right. Take care, David. And that was David from California. We got to go and take our last break. It's something like, about 46 past the hour, whichever hour that is where you are. So we're going to take this quick break, come back, and I'm going to mention something about Howard lying again and getting his nose stuck in it. So this is John Fox with Foxed Up, and we'll be right back after this.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any coursers like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If
you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha! Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Girls on the avenue. They're trying to get you in.
Thank you, Richard Clapton. An Australian legend in his own right, Girls on the Avenue. And I've always referred to him as the Australian Bruce Springsteen just because he kind of, you know, he paints these cinematic lyrics, you know, and you listen to a Clapton lyric and you just kind of get the feeling that you're, you know, in Queensland, you know, in Brisbane, you know, at the club watching the girls go by. It's just he's awesome. Used to work for him, toured with him for about a year, and he's just something else. Before we run out of time here, I gotta tell you this one. From The Age, Howard's Bioterror Distortion. John Howard and Alexander Downer, Mr. Quaalude, who we heard from today, sparked Australia's biggest biological terror scare last year when they exaggerated test results to claim white powder sent to the Indonesian embassy in Canberra, later shown to be flour, was a biological agent. Documents from the ACT Pathology and the Australian Federal Police obtained under Freedom of Information laws showed the microbiologist who examined the powder on June 1st last year and the Australian Federal Police never called it a biological agent and described it as a commonly occurring bacteria. On June 1st last year, Mr. Howard told The Age, "It's not an innocent white powder. It's some kind of biological agent." The documents reveal that some days after testing began, the powder was shown to be flour. Among the documents is an email sent by the Australian Federal Police's National Manager of Intelligence, Grant Wardlaw, a Justice Minister, Chris Ellison, at 6:35 p.m. on the day of the attack, advising the government the powder had tested positive to gram bacilli, but this did not mean it posed a threat. Now, this little revelation popped up yesterday, and Mr. Howard's just saying it's blatantly wrong. He tries to defuse the powder keg, as The Age says. In another piece, Prime Minister John Howard has denied he distorted test results to claim a white powder sent to the Indonesian embassy last year was a biological agent. Documents obtained under the Freedom of Information laws show that neither the microbiologist who examined the substance nor the police used the term biological agents. But Mr. Howard says he and Foreign Minister Alexander Downer were quoting from a government agency report when they used the term. "The conclusion that the government exaggerated the threat is outrageous and factually incorrect," Mr. Howard said in a statement. This was one of the biggest scare tactics used on the Australian people throughout this
conflict. And it really sent shockwaves. And I was watching some of Question and Answer Time in the Senate yesterday, and very rightly so, one of the labor senators said, look, you know, you lied about the Tampa affair, which that for those of you who don't know, was there was a boat of Indonesians heading towards the Australian coast that was sinking. And Mr. Howard claimed that these people were throwing their children overboard to try and get into Australia, which was factually wrong. And so this is just another, just one more example of how John Howard will lie, outright lie, to try and get his way, and he will never, ever, ever say that he's wrong. And I hope, you know, I just hope that they keep the pressure up on this, because it's going to be things like this, the fact that the Australian Wheat Board put $300 million into Saddam's coffers right underneath his nose, all these accountability issues, and the new Labor leadership with, and it was announced yesterday, Peter Garrett, the former singer of Midnight Oil, has been promoted to the front bench, and so it looks like he is going to be the new shadow environment minister. And this is big news. He has been an absolute fervent environmental and social justice activist for his entire life, and I think the Labor Party is going to bring the environment straight up to the front as the most crucial issue we face as a planet, and it's up to the Australian government to take it by the horns and do the right thing and stop being an environmental whore, which is exactly what we are at the moment. Well, folks, we're getting towards the end of things, about 5 minutes towards the top of the hour, and so today's program was geniusly engineered by Mr. Bob Kincaid, who will be coming up shortly, and I have a strange feeling he will be having to do the self-production routine, because I do believe Agnes is not feeling the best, so please send your positive energy to the wonderful Agnes, who we all love and adore. Our archives are handled by the White Rose Society at whiterosesociety.org. Ben Birch never sends a bill, so please do the right thing. Stop by and drop him 5, 10, 50, 100, whatever you can spare. Everything on the horn happens because of the hardworking men and women of the Mid-Atlantic Council of Carpenters. They are out there building the American dream each and every day. Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers for taking care of our technical aspects. Bob Kincaid again for announcing this very program, and to our mods and our news ninjas, you guys all rock. We love you all, ladies and gentlemen. We could not do this thing without you. You take so much of the stress off of us by making it all happen. So folks, you know, stick around. Bob Kincaid's coming up. I do believe he's going to have a little bit of fun over the new schedule for the House and Senate, which I think should be quite a bit of fun. And then shortly after that, I'm not sure, we had a bit of a crook, Bruce Birch, last night. Not sure if he's making a return tonight, but I hope he is. So, folks, thank you for spending this time with me. We will see you tomorrow with more stuff and more green news, more music as usual. Be good. Be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
Enough of that, please. It's a family crowd. Are we sure of that?
An extended family crowd.
Yeah. It's extended all the time.
We learned this little ditty from her, and we hope you enjoy it.
And if you know it, sing along.
Yes, I'd love to have you join us if you remember it, Mikey.
Baby, start me up. Baby, start me up. I'll never stop. Baby, start me up. Baby, start me up. I'll never stop. I've been running hard, running hard, but you got the ticket for the top. Baby, start me up. Baby, start me up. I'll never stop. You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
Well,
the oil, gasoline. I ride smooth. She's a clean machine.
So I started up.
This is the Quality News Network. The House Ethics Committee has released its report on the investigation into how congressional leaders handled the Mark Foley Page scandal. The report concluded that GOP leaders did not break any rules, but they were negligent in protecting the male teenagers who received sexually inappropriate electronic messages from former Republican congressmen. Florida law officials are still conducting a criminal investigation of Foley's conduct. The 109th Congress came to a close today. The House vote on a controversial tax and trade package, which would authorize drilling for oil and gas in the Gulf of Mexico, was delayed because members could not reach a compromise. Outgoing Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld made a final farewell today after nearly 6 years in office. In the speech, he said his worst day was when he learned of the Abu Ghraib prisoner abuse in Iraq. Two human rights groups representing several former detainees of Iraqi and Afghani prisons are suing Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld along with other Pentagon top officials for dereliction of duty and command. After meeting with congressional leaders and the Iraq study group this week, President Bush is expected to announce his decisions about Iraq in a speech scheduled before Christmas. The latest AP Ipsos poll this week shows public dissatisfaction with the president's handling of the Iraq war at 71%, an all-time high. Only 27% of Americans approve of how President Bush is conducting the Iraq war, down from the November low of 31%. In Iraq, northwest of Baghdad, the U.S. military said 20 insurgents linked to al-Qaeda were killed by U.S.-led coalition forces today. Several weapons stockpiles were also destroyed. The exodus of Iraqis to nearby countries such as Jordan and Syria is causing a humanitarian crisis and putting a strain on those countries' economic and social services, according to a report this week from an advocacy group, Refugees International. As part of the new federal anti-terrorist program, all U.S.-bound cargo from container ships originating from Pakistan, Honduras, and Southampton, England, will be scanned for hidden nuclear weapons.